From the Kramer Basketball Headquarters in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you are listening to the Coach's Edge Podcast, powered by CoachesEdge.coach. Here is your host, Steve Kramer.
Welcome to the Coach's Edge Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Before we get into our episode, I want to let you know that CoachesEdge.coach is live. Our membership serves coaches from around the country, even around the world. We just welcomed a new coach, our first international coach from Austria, the Salt Miners. Shout out to Coach Manu Langhammer for being our first international Coach's Edge member. But we serve coaches around the United States through CoachesEdge.coach. We continue to update new resources onto that website, as well as offer game film review, personal consulting, phone calls, emails, Zoom calls, as well as being able to have at least two monthly meetings every single month that we have guest speakers for. We have presentations, we have roundtable discussions, we take coaches' polls, and then we discuss them. And out of all the stuff that I do throughout the course of the year with Kramer Basketball and Coach's Edge, you know, this membership has become one of the most rewarding things that I do, getting the chance to meet such great people from around the world, from around the country, and try to help them be better, do better. I continue to learn a ton throughout this membership so that I can improve myself inside this Coach's Edge membership. It's an awesome community of like-minded coaches who are just hungry to improve themselves and the programs that they work with. So if that's you, if those fit the bill for you, CoachesEdge.coach to learn more, to register. And if you have questions, reach out, contact@KramerBasketball.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get to the show. Hey, coaches, I want to welcome you back to the Coach's Edge Podcast. And this time of year, it's the preseason. We have players and coaches that are already in season. We have some that are about ready to kick off in a week, 2 weeks, depending on what part of the United States that you're in. And so it's a good time for me to give one of my handouts, my preseason prep handouts. When I say preseason, it's not so much preseason as in before basketball practice officially starts. These are tips for when your practice has started, but you know, some states have a month of practices before their game starts. Some even more than that, some a little bit less. So I've compiled some lists that are for coaches to be able to give to their players, to give them some ideas. Obviously, this is great for players to listen to as well. We just know that players aren't quite so inclined to listen to long form audio, long form anything like podcasts, like some of our adult coaches might. So with this in mind, I'm going to run through a list. If you're looking on YouTube, this document that I'm going through is on the Coach's Edge membership site under program development. And I'm going to also share a couple other tips of just kind of notes that I've taken over the years and put into a document as well that aren't on the website, but we're sharing here. So I call these definite dozen. And I say that because for sure, these dozen things will help you. Like there's no way you could say, boy, I did one of those things. And it's just, man, things didn't seem to work out for me because I did that, right? Long shot. So I'm going to run through these and we'll talk about a few of them. Again, it's just document that says preseason prep, Coach Kramer's definite dozen. These are reminders. Number one, I have the same amount of time as everyone else. 86,400 seconds in a day. How do you choose to use it? That's up to you. You have the same amount of practice time if you're going into a practice as some of your teammates. But how do you choose to spend that time? Are you intentional with that time? Are you focused? Are you doing your best, right? Are you working hard? Are you being a great teammate? So I have the same amount of time as everybody else. That's one. Number two, I know it won't be easy, but it will be worth it. And there's a big, big difference right there, right? A lot of times we want what's easy. We want what's fun, but you don't necessarily have to, like, I want to chase rewarding more than I want to chase fun. I want to chase purpose more than I want to chase fun. And I think that even for young people, it's important for us to be able to explain those differences, give examples, ask them what are some examples, and talk about, boy,
Yeah, you're probably going to get tired practicing against the same people for a month. But boy, the things that we're working on and how we're going to get after it, it's going to be worth it. Trust me. And that's an important reminder for us to have throughout the preseason. Number three, I can't control the outcome, but I can control my preparation. I can't control the outcome, but I can control my preparation. Controlling the controllables, this is a big one for me. I mean, I'm a grinder. I love the work. And so preparation was something that I always took a lot of pride in. And it's something that gave me a lot of confidence when I stepped out onto the hardwood, because I know the energy and the effort that I put forth when it was practice, before practice, after practice, that was going to shine on the bright lights. And so although you may not be able to control how you shoot on a certain game, the fact that you might get sick, you might roll your ankle, can't control, right? Everybody out there's one of me, there's nine other people out on the court. Some players are going to have a great game. We may lose some games, but I can't control my preparation. That's important for us to remind ourselves. Four is a big one. This is where we get into some growth mindset. This is one that is beyond basketball, big, big time beyond basketball. Not that they all aren't, but this is a big one. If I can serve, then I can learn and I can grow. If I can serve, then I can learn and I can grow. So if I'm putting myself out there to try to help other people, a servant mindset, I keep an open mind towards what's going on out there. That means that I'm learning about others. Like when you serve people, you're learning about them. Right? Because I'm learning what are their needs, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, how can I fill a gap, how can I fill a hole. I'm learning all those things by serving. And if I'm doing that, then I'm growing. I'm growing because I have an unselfish attitude trying to make other people better. So that's growing. And then because I'm learning through that process, I'm also growing. Boom, boom. This is big time for all of us. If I can serve, then I can learn and I can grow. Number five, behave in a way that my future self would be proud of. Behave in a way that my future self would be proud of. There's going to be highs and lows. There's going to be a lot of things that are out of our control. But I want you to look back at the end of the season and at the end of this mini season, the preseason, and say, boy, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of the effort I gave. I'm proud of how I treated people. I'm proud of how I listened, how I took care of my body. The extra work that I put in, now I can live with the results. That's big. Number six, this gets back into preparation. You know, I'm a big preparation person. Instead of waiting for opportunity, I will prepare for it. There's a lot of people that just wait. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people that just wait. They hope something good is eventually going to fall into their lap. Sometimes it falls into your lap. And you don't even know it's there. Why? Because you haven't been preparing for it. Other times it falls into your lap. You know it's there, but guess what? You haven't been preparing for it. So you're not ready. And that opportunity passes you by. You don't want those things to be you. So prepare, prepare, prepare. Chances are opportunity is going to come at some point. You have to be able to take advantage of it. Maybe you're the 10th person in the rotation. But you have a starter, they hurt their knee. They're out, maybe even the whole season. What does that mean? That means their backup is now starting. That means the person who's 10th and wasn't even in the rotation is now playing those backup minutes. Boom, there's your opportunity. All right. And maybe you weren't better than the starter, but maybe you're pretty close to the backup. You might even steal their position. And now you go from being third string to starting. That's what preparation can do for you, because different opportunities are going to come. Obviously, we hope, you know, everybody's healthy, but people get injured. And if you're not in that rotation, boy, it's really important that you stay ready. Number seven, I will talk to myself in a positive way, because I know most thoughts are negative, right? So this is, you know, studies have shown most thoughts that we have as humans are negative. They're basically just to like keep us alive, to protect us. And I need to talk to myself in a positive way if I'm going to grow and if I'm going to be my best, right? And the human body and the brain, it doesn't necessarily want to be its best as far as you really growing and developing as an individual, as a person. It just wants to keep you going, right? So I need to take some more initiative. I need to talk to myself in a positive way because I know that my natural thinking is going to be negative. Even for somebody like myself, who I like to think of myself as a pretty optimistic person, human brain, most thoughts are going to be negative. I need to talk to myself in a positive way, right? And so if I finish practice and I'm thinking about, boy, I missed that easy layup that I should have made. Boy, I made that one really bad pass. I didn't rotate on defense. Coach was mad at me when I didn't rotate on defense during that one possession. I start to beat myself up. It's important for me to look at my practice and give myself some positive self-talk. We want to be able to do this during practice as well. But at the end, if I'm beating myself up, I want to be able to look at my practice and say, you know what? What's a positive? I showed up to practice early. What's a positive? I dapped up some of my teammates. I made eye contact with my coach. I said hello, maybe shook their hand, whatever that might have been. I stayed after practice, shot some extra free throws. I ran as hard as I could when we did some sprints. We did some full court drills. Oh, I guess there were some positives to my practice, right? And we're starting to feel a little bit better. I do this all the time with my basketball clinics, all the time. We could have a 3-hour clinic, hour break, another 2-hour clinic, that's 5 hours. And I'll finish that. And my thoughts naturally go to like, what should we have done better? And it's sometimes it's in a positive way. Sometimes it's in a negative way where I start to beat myself up and I have to go back and be like, boy, what went well? And I start to get a list going in my head of all the things that went well. Okay. Hey, it wasn't as bad as I thought, right? I have a high standard for how I run my basketball clinics. I can look back and say, hey, we got all the things in that I wanted to get in, right? There was a ton that was accomplished today. Kids had a great time. None of them even noticed like that one thing that's eaten away at me. Like they didn't even have no clue that there's one thing about the camp that I was like, boy, I really made a mistake there. I should have done something better as far as my coaching, maybe something that was too easy, too difficult. It's eaten away at me. And I need to be able to tell myself, hey, there was a lot of positives to what we did today. Yes, we can do this, you know, this 10-minute segment of our workout. We can do that better and we'll do that better the next time, but don't let it eat at you. I got to do that to myself all the time. As a player, it was the same way with me, right? When I was coaching basketball, it was the same way with me, right? We'd have an hour and a half practice. It would go great. There'd be 5 or 10 minutes that I didn't like and it eat away with me. That's not a great way to live. Let's be honest. And a lot of coaches are relating to what I'm saying right now. It's important for us as well as to get the point across to our players. I need to talk to myself in a positive way. What went well? What went well sheet is very important. What is something I can do to make the situation better? This would be, let's see, we're on the list where we at number eight. What is something I can do to make the situation better? These players are huge. Some players are going to do this a little more naturally. And I'll even, from a basketball clinic standpoint now, there'll be players that'll look around. Maybe they're there early and they have this in their mind. And they'll kind of look, hey, coach, what do you need? You need anything? Right? You've probably been a basketball coach and you have a certain player on your team who you're getting ready for practice. And they might come over, hey, you need a hand with anything? You need to get ready for anything? You know, what's going on today? Those players are awesome. Most people are not that way, adults or kids. But what if we can be one of those people? What if we can get our team to adopt that mindset of looking at a situation saying, boy, what's something I can do to make the situation better? And to break this down even deeper for different roles that players have on a team. Everybody has a role, right? We talk about role players like bench players. The best player has a role of being the best player. Right? Whether it's shooting, whether it's scoring, whether it's defending, taking care of the ball, that's a role. What's something that you can do to make the situation better, right? Fill a need. Maybe it's simply being a coach on the bench or a coach on the floor and improving the communication. within a team. Next one. What is something no one else is doing that I can begin doing? This is big. This is big. What's a weakness on your team? What's something other people aren't doing? Boy, you want to stand out. Find something that other people aren't doing. Start doing it. Your team stinks at rebounding the ball. You're going to crash the glass. You're going to be a monster on the boards. Maybe you're 5 foot nothing, but boy, you are going to attack the glass and you're going to get an extra rebound or two a game. That makes a difference, right? What if you have a really quiet team? Nobody talks to each other. Everybody, you know, there's always on their phones before practice, after practice, nobody say anything. What do you say? You know what? Nobody talks to each other. I'm going to be the lead communicator on this team. What is something no one else is doing that I can begin doing? That'd be awesome. Maybe your team just needs a little toughness defensively. You don't seem to have anyone that plays that role on the team. Can you play that role? Can you fill that role? Everybody wants to shoot, right? There's a lot of people who want to fill that role, but there's some roles on the team that are just as vital that people don't want to fill. Look around, fill one of those roles, I'm telling you. These last three, 10, 11, 12, pretty simple. Drink more water. Studies show most people are dehydrated, especially athletes, right? You're sweating, you're putting in extra time. I don't know about you, but you know, it's sometimes the temperature as you get into the winter of the gym, it's not like so hot and you're not, sometimes you're like sweating, but then you stop that sweat because maybe coaches toss you in for a while or you run it through plays. So you kind of stop sweating, you almost get a little bit cold. So you don't feel like drinking enough water, but you're getting dehydrated at the same time. Your muscles get tight. Now you're more likely to get injured. Drink more water, stay hydrated. Stretch before bed is like a cheat code, right? If you're hanging out, and instead of sitting on the couch and watching TV before bed, sit on the floor and do some stretching. You can still watch TV. You're still kind of winding down, but you're stretching. And this is huge. I was really good at this until we got a new puppy that I'm allergic to and he's got a lot of fur and I got to figure something out. I just probably just need a vacuum more. Number 12, study game film. What if you went to your coach, if you're a player and you said, hey, well, I want to get back to Coach Troshak, who's a Coach's Edge contributor, talked about something that he did this summer and he was watching other teams' game film. He was watching another Coach's Edge.coach member. He was watching some of their game film this summer because they were doing some things defensively that he wants to do. That's big time. That's big time. Not a lot of people are doing that in the offseason. As coaches, we want to watch game film. We want to be prepared. And if we can teach some of our players, we want to watch game film. Maybe it's send them some clips. Maybe it's college basketball is about to start. Here's a challenge for you. Sit down and watch a college basketball game per week. Most people don't watch college basketball that are young. They're just watching the highlight clips. Well, you know, the game is played off the highlight clips. What I mean is, the game is not the highlight clips. The game is the game. The game is the adjustment that a team made. The game is the boring ball screen into like a kick up, into two ball reversals, into a slip on the second side with a ball screen and somebody gets a layup. That's not going on SportsCenter. But you learn those things watching game film, right? So encourage your teams to watch game film. That's a huge one. I think I have a couple more really good ones here. Let me find them. So just sit tight for a moment. And we're back after that short interruption. I had to find one of my documents. We got it. A couple more tips for tryouts for the preseason. And this is, I'm speaking to my athletes on this one. So this is almost like part two of this one episode. I'm going to run through these quicks. I've been talking to you for a while. One, you don't have great grades. Don't think about it. Have great grades. The last thing a coach wants is to have somebody on their team and they're wondering, are they going to be ineligible in a couple weeks? Number two, the work ethic. Whether you're running sprints, man, touch the line, run hard on sprints. Be the first person in line, right? Show an eager attitude, dive for loose balls, take charges, crash the rebounds, pick up the ball, right? Pick up the ball and try to move the offensive player. Work ethic is huge. Tips for tryouts, play to your strengths. A lot of players go into tryouts and they're trying to do extra. But they think that I have to do extra in order to make this team. That's not what you need to do. You need to play to your strengths. Show the coach the things that you're good at. Don't be who you are not. Let me say that again. Don't be who you are not. Number four, you don't have to be a great scorer. There are many important ways to contribute to a basketball team. Even the terrible teams have a leading score. So do not let this be the be-all, end-all in how you evaluate yourself, especially at a tryout. Number five, communication. Talked about this already. Can you help direct the offense? Can you help communicate on defense? Ball screens, off-ball screens, gap defense, help side defense, rotations. Can you be the person that helps communicate there? And another big one is, especially for tryouts at the beginning of the season, coach might have some new drills, some players on the team they're not familiar with. Can you help the coach set up the drills by communicating to players like, hey, when we do this, like you're going to run up the sideline. If you're the second person to get the pass, you're going to lay it up. If you're the first person to get the pass, you're going to pass it across court and you're going to get a jump shot instead of a layup. Like helping people through communication, especially organizing some others like a coach on the floor, is huge. Number six, don't over dribble. We've talked about this in other podcast episodes, handling the ball with purpose, handling the basketball against pressure, being able to break down the defense, huge, huge, huge with some of the rules as far as freedom of movement. The ability to handle the basketball makes you a much better player because the defense can't touch you as much as they could 20 or 30 years ago. So if you have the ability to handle the ball, you can really be more effective than you could in previous decades. That can also lead to over dribbling. Don't do that. Be efficient with your dribble. Check out our podcast where we talk about the five reasons to handle the rock. This goes into that. Don't be the hero. You know, some players, you try to put everything on your back. You try to make too many plays instead of being someone who is trying to fit into the system and do what coach wants them to do. Like, you're not going to win the championship and you're not going to be, you know, the best player on the team because of a two-day tryout. Just try to fit a role on the team, do what coach needs you to do. This goes along with that. Number eight, play defense. Be a dog on defense. Be a dog on defense. Communication, not giving up on plays, being alert. You know where your player is. You know where your area is. If you're running zone, you always know where the basketball is. You know your personnel, your tryouts. You know the people you're playing against. Understanding their strengths and weaknesses. What's the team defense? Are you running a forced baseline? Are you running pack line? Is there trapping involved in your defense? Know the scout. Very, very big. Number nine, how well do you listen? There's nothing more frustrating for a coach than explaining something and then the players weren't paying attention. Be the listener. And two on that one, don't be a drill killer. Being able to follow instructions is huge. And maybe you need to repeat those to yourself. You can help by repeating it to other people to get them on the same page. But I've noticed this more in the past couple of years when I'm running basketball clinics and camps, I'm spending the same amount of time explaining a drill, but players aren't recalling that information. Why? Their attention span is shorter. So you got to fight that, right? Because I can only talk so fast. And if we're breaking down a drill, there's certain teaching points we need to understand, right? There's a way that the drill is going to go if we've never done it before. That's going to take some time. So if you're not able to follow directions it's only going to, one, the coach is going to be upset, but two, they're going to have to spend more time explaining because you're a drill killer, right? You have to be able to follow directions, be alert. If you can follow these 9 tips that I just gave you, not only are you going to perform better in tryouts, in the preseason, throughout the course of the season, but you're also going to have confidence because all of these things are things that you can control, aspects of your game you know you control, and that's going to help you out. Thank you for listening to the Coach's Edge podcast. Appreciate you. If you want to join coachesedge.coach, our membership, now's the time before the season starts. We got so many awesome things going on and a ton of resources that we're helping coaches with. It's the best. It's awesome. I love our coachesedge.coach members and everything that we got going heading into the season. Thank you for listening to the Coach's Edge podcast. Get after it today.